Today we're going to be looking at deferring gratification, and it's a message I'm sure you're really going to enjoy because all of us want to defer gratification, or maybe not. We're going to stand together as we honor God. We're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. According as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and you abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Father, help us as we study your word today. Open our hearts to the importance of learning to delay gratification, so that we might grow to a virtuous life for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In days gone by, education was based primarily on the fundamental foundation of learning a virtuous life. And that wasn't just in Israel. That was in the Egyptian Empire. That was in the Greek cultures. They always felt that if a young man or young woman became virtuous, they had attained the primary lessons of life. It was thought that if a young man posed virtue, he already had achieved the greatest pursuit in life. In our nation, our own nation, in the 18th and 19th century, that means the 17 and 1800s, education was training young people to be virtuous people. And that virtue, unlike Egypt and the Greeks, a virtuous life was based upon the Word of God. In all of our public schools, all across this nation, the Word of God was taught in our public schools, everywhere. In about the 1950s, things began to change, and they changed rapidly. And we are the fruit of those changes. Virtue was the primary goal. Yes, they wanted to learn how to read, they wanted to learn how to write and do math, but virtue was the primary thing. And test scores back then were much higher than they are today because we've forgotten something. We've forgotten to teach virtue. Now we think just learning math and science and literature is the answer to everything. But folks, it's not. A life without virtue is going to be a wasted life. You may succeed greatly in this life, but in a life to come, you're going to pay a price. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 again, it says, according as the divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue. Our national motto is, in God we trust. And what does that God primarily want for His people? What are we called to? Glory and virtue. Folks, glory is great. We're heading for heaven. We're saying, you know, we're going to get to heaven. There's no more sorrow, no more pain. But the truth is, right on this earth, living a virtuous life draws others to the gospel because they want to be like you. They don't know about Christ yet, but they know about you. And your life can be a lower light, your life of virtue, kindness, generosity, love and faithfulness, that can draw others, and they're going to want to know from you, why do you live the way you live? Because there are very few virtuous people around today, and it's quite a contrast. God has called His children to glory and to virtue. How do we attain glory and virtue? Through the knowledge of God. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Imagine having your nature right in line with the divine nature. What does that mean? That means you'll be a true Christian. Do you know what the word Christian means? It's a Christ-like one. When people see you, they're going to see an example of Jesus Christ. You're going to live a virtuous life. So why are God's precious promises so great? Because they'll make you and I more like our Lord and Savior. How many promises have we got? I mentioned this a lot of times. I'm going to keep mentioning it. You've got over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. Those are all meant to make you more like your Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be partakers of the divine nature so that we might draw others into the family of God. That's why we're here. I believe with all my heart that all of life and the choices we make in life are rooted in our understanding of who God is and what God wants from us, or from our misunderstanding of that. We call that the study of theology. It's the study of God. Who is He? What's He like? And what does He want from us? And the more you understand who God is and what He really wants from you, the more like Him you're going to become. Unless, of course, you decide you don't want that. Because a lot of people know the Word of God, but they refuse to receive Christ as Savior, and they refuse to submit themselves to His leadership. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power." Folks, that's God's desire for you, that you not only study the Word of God, but you let the Word of God permeate your heart so that your life changes to be like His life. The Christians that Paul is writing to here already have faith in God and love in God. But there's far more. It's called growth in Christ-likeness. And you can attain that through walking with the Lord. Hidden in God is all the wisdom of this world and the world to come. And He wants to share that wisdom with you and I. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, deal with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." You know, many of our great inventors have got their ideas from the scriptures of those inventions. God's revealed a lot of things in His Word, and a woman who really knows the Word of God is very, very gifted and a chance to be the next inventor of the next new thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Folks, the Lord has given us all this wisdom and knowledge in His Word, and then He equips us through His Spirit to be able to understand and apply those things to our lives so that we can have a virtuous life. Our Lord said in John 10:10, "The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan gives you all kinds of promises. If you'll just do this, you can have what you want right now. And Jesus says, my ways are not that way. If you want to follow me, you have to give up everything you have to him and make him Lord of your life. And little by little, your life is going to be changing. Folks, we want instant gratification. We want what we want, and we want it now. The cost of a virtuous life is deferring gratification, putting things off a little longer, waiting on the Lord. There's so many lessons to be learned here, but it's extremely important that you learn how to defer gratification. Yes, you want something, and you want it now. But the Lord says if you'll trust in him, all will be given to you if you put his kingdom first. Sadly, for many of us, his kingdom on priority list would be about priority 17. So many things are so much more important than really seeking after God and his will for our lives. I want you to look in your bulletin right now. You've got a little chart. It's so important to see what's changed in our nation from the 1950s, which is about 70 years ago, now 75 years ago, to today. And it shows you that as a nation, we are not deferring gratification like they used to. In the 1950s, the savings rate, in other words, if Dad brought home a check in the 1950s of $80, he had a pretty good job in the 1950s. Out of that $80, he saved 12% on average across our nation. Today, Dad brings home a check, maybe it's $2,000 or $3,000 or $1,500, whatever it is, he saves 1%. Things have changed, and I'll explain why in a minute. It used to be in the 1950s, Tax Freedom Day, in other words, you paid in, made enough to pay your taxes, came on March 30th. Now it's May 3rd. Why? Because the government's taking more and more to supply what you won't take care of yourself. We are in a nation now that's letting the government take over all areas of our lives because we want mommy and daddy to take care of us. And the state becomes mommy and daddy. Folks, that's a dangerous place to be. 12-year mortgage was the average. In other words, if a man bought a house in the 1950s, he took out a loan for 12 years. Today, it's 30 years. I don't know if you heard what President Trump brought up 2 weeks ago, I think now. He wants to have mortgages for 50 years. Folks, it will lower your payment, but you're going to pay the whole rest of your life. Something's wrong here. Car loans used to be 18-month car loans. Car loans now average 69 months. Things have changed, folks. In 1950, a house average was 22% of your budget for the week. Now it's 40% of most people's budget goes towards the house. Government debt in the 1950s was $257 million. Not billion, just million. Today, our government debt is $37 trillion. Not billion, trillion. People in the 1950s had no credit cards. You had to pay cash or you had to take a loan. Today, the average household has at least 4 credit cards. Many have many more credit cards. We had no credit card debt. Today, the average person is in debt on a credit card, $6,735. There was no national credit debt. We didn't have such a thing back then. Today, our nation is in debt $1.21 trillion credit that our nation now is taking out. There was no foreign debt at all. We didn't owe Japan. We didn't owe China anything. We didn't owe India anything. Today, 40% of our foreign debt, which we said was $1.21 trillion, we owe it to China. We owe it to India. We owe it to Japan. We owe it to all these foreign countries. Average Christian giving back in the 1950s was 6%. Today, average Christian giving is 2.5%. Something's wrong. Average divorce per year was 385,000. Today it's 672,502. We live in an age where we cannot defer gratification. If I want a car, I'm going to get a car. I'm going to take out a loan that's going to last me almost 7 years to get that brand new car, because, man, I'll be looking good in that brand new car. If I want a home, it doesn't matter if I can afford it or not, because I'm going to take out a 30-year or 40-year loan, and I'll just pay it off in time. What people don't understand is every time you do that, you're paying interest. You're paying huge sums. If somebody were to buy a home today, average house today is how much? $300,000, believe it or not. A little more than that now. If you figured out the interest you're going to pay in 30 years, you would be amazed at how much it is. And if it goes out to 50 years, you're going to be even more amazed. We have to learn how to defer gratification. Yes, things are nice, but the things can actually take away your virtue, because you're chasing the things of this world instead of chasing after the things of the next world. We get our eyes off the Lord onto the things here and now that we want. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Folks, we live in the most discontent age of any age in our nation's history. How much is enough? A little bit more. I got to have a little bit more, a little bit more. There's never enough. Even our government can't stand to put off gratification. I want the votes, and so I'm going to give them what they want. And our nation is running so deep in debt, if it doesn't turn around pretty quick, we're going to lose our nation. Because the debtor is what? The slave of the lender. Folks, our nation is becoming a slave nation. You say, well, I don't see that. No, you don't realize how much we're paying in interest every year on our national debt. We are paying literally almost $1 trillion every year on our national debt. Where's that money going? 40% of it is foreign owned. Where's it going? It's going to China. It's going to India. It's going all around the world, but it's not staying with us. That's your money. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The Bible says the fool says what? There is no God. Why do fools despise wisdom and instruction? Because nobody's going to rule over me. I'm going to call the shot. And so when somebody comes along and says, you know, there is a better way to do things, virtue should be one of the most important things in your life. No, no, no. What's most important is money, 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 money. Back years ago, the people we knew, the president that was running at the time, had some affairs, and Tim and I talked with a lot of guys in the shop. We said, as a Christian, we talked to Christians, we didn't talk to non-Christians, as a Christian, how can you possibly vote for this man? And they said, I'll tell you how I can vote for that guy. It's right here. That guy is going to give me the money that I want. You know what that guy did? He brought up NAFTA. And we saw our jobs go to Mexico. We saw our jobs go to China. Folks, if you put money before God, or you put anything before God, you're about to be a loser. It might take a while. You think you're getting what you want, but you're not. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's so important for us to understand that. And our nation was based on the Word of God and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was a Christian nation. But we're losing the fear of the Lord. People today don't even know what the fear of the Lord is, let alone have it. Folks, the fear of the Lord is that reverential awe of God, that affection that says, I really believe if I follow the Lord, it might take a little longer to get what I want, but I'm going to get what I want without being a slave to somebody else. I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a slave of anybody else. I want Him glorified. And so, folks, it's so important we understand that the fear of the Lord can be learned. This is so important because people don't even, they're not even interested in the fear of the Lord. But the Lord tells us in Psalm 34, verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them." Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Folks, there are rewards for a virtuous life, but it doesn't come cheap. We want immediate gratification. We want something that I can feel and see and touch and smell. And we want it right now. God, on the other hand, says the fear of the Lord is becoming virtuous like your Lord, seeking his glory for your life, and waiting on him for the proper time to attain to things of this world. There's nothing wrong with owning a house. I own a house. There's nothing wrong with owning a car. I own a car. But folks, there's something wrong with going in debt head over heels to get the best of the best because you can't stand to wait. Folks, indebtedness is killing our nation. It's robbing us of our peace and our joy. So we want to be careful with this. I'm not opposed to all indebtedness, but I am opposed to indebtedness that's beyond your ability to meet requirements. You need to be very careful here. You don't need the newest, greatest anything. You can get by on less. And people years ago used to. They just got by and they said, we just can't afford it. We're going to save up. And when we save up, then we're going to get it. Folks, it's so important. So when we continue to do right, God will bless us. And eventually those things will be ours. Maybe not in this lifetime, but for sure in the next. All the things of this life, we don't need to have it all. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. We are having more, but enjoying it less than our parents and our grandparents used to. We want instant gratification. Our God is patient, but his patience only stretches so far. In Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our problem today is because we don't have the fear of the Lord. We don't care about our heart. I don't care about a strengthened heart. I want that car. I want that super-duper girlfriend, that super-handsome guy. I want. And we don't realize our major desire should be to want to know and love our Lord. It'll defer some of the gratification because those things will take a lesser place in your life. Jesus said, if you love the world, you can't love God. You have to make some choices. We got to pursue the Lord. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Folks, how does an eagle fly? When you see an eagle way up there and he's got his arms out, is he flapping like a duck? He's not flapping like a duck. He's just got his wings straight out. So how does he get higher and higher? The Lord has equipped the eagle's wings in such a way that going against the resistance, they go up. Folks, this world's calling you to love this world, to operate the same way this whole world operates, to go in debt head over heels to get what you want, but going against that, saying, I'm not going to follow that pattern. I'm going to resist the temptation to get it now. I'm going to defer it, and I'm going to chase after God. What has God promised? He's promised no good thing will the Lord withhold from them that are loving him. He won't withhold one thing from you. That doesn't mean you're going to have the biggest house that anybody has. But 100 years from now, I think it's Tim likes this one. 1,000 years from now, how much is it going to matter what house you lived in on this 70, 80 years on this earth? How much difference is it going to make 1,000 years from today? What kind of car you drove? How new it was? Did it have air? Did it have super big engine? Folks, it's not going to matter one bit. How much is it going to matter that you chased after Jesus Christ? That you spent your whole heart seeking Him, submitting to Him, learning to be like Him? You're going to go against the wind and you are going to mount up, and people are going to wind up admiring your life, not because of what you have, but because of who you become. You become like Christ. You deferred some of those things. You said, yes, they're important, but they're not the most important to me. I can put some things off. We want solutions, at least most people, including most Christians. We want solutions, not growth. We want to see results right now. We don't want to wait for anything. Blessed are those that wait upon the Lord. Folks, it's so hard to learn, but it's such a blessing. Our Lord tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, the natural man, the way we are, we think one way, and God says, I think an entirely different way than any of you think. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, it's extremely important you learn to realize how God thinks about this life. What does He say you should put as most important? There's nothing more important than seeking the Lord. You take your eyes off the Lord and you look at anything on this earth and you just got to have it. Satan's got a tool to use against you, and he will. He'll rob you. I want to give you a little illustration of this because so many people, including so many Christians, don't know how God works. I want to talk to you about bamboo. Most people don't know because we don't live in an area that raises bamboo. But if a farmer takes a little bamboo shoot and he sticks it in the ground, he holds around it, he keeps the weeds out, nothing at all on the top side of the ground is going to make any difference for a whole year. That bamboo shoot is still just a little teeny stick sticking out of the ground. The second year, that bamboo shoot doesn't grow one bit. It just sits there. If you don't understand how bamboo grows, you're going to give up. The third year, it still hasn't grown one bit above the ground. The fourth year, same exact thing. The fifth year, it still hasn't grown one inch. But in the sixth year, that bamboo shoot will grow in 1 month 90 foot tall. Folks, if you don't understand that, you don't understand how God works. The growth will just suddenly be there, and you wonder, where did that come from? That came from the Holy Spirit. You put Him first, and He's going to put you first. When we chase the things of this world, and they're more important to us than our time in the Word of God, they're more important than taking time for prayer, they're more important than assembling in a church someplace, they're more important than witnessing to our friends because I got to have that thing. You're not going to grow. Do you know that the first 5 years, that bamboo shoot was growing all the time? It wasn't growing up. It wasn't getting wider above the ground. But below the ground, the roots and the body of that were growing that whole 5 years to support that 90-foot growth. Folks, if you don't understand how God works, you're going to wonder. I've been chasing after the Lord now for a long time, and I don't see much difference yet. Folks, all at once, you're going to see a difference. And so is everybody else. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled to all the fullness of God. Folks, verse 17 says, the breadth and the height and the width and the length. You know that's four dimensions? How many dimensions do we have on this earth? We've got three dimensions. God says four. Folks, that's how the Lord works. He works in a way that we cannot understand. All we can do is learn from it and grow. I want to read you one more time now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. According as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and you abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I want you to do a little experiment this next year. In fact, for about 2 years. I want you to watch what's going to happen in New York City. And you say, why New York City? Because they have a new mayor there. And I don't know if you're following this or not. But the new mayor says, we're going to change everything how this city has ever operated. We are no longer going for individualism. We're no longer going for hard work to achieve anything. Everybody's going to have the same. We're going to have free childcare. We're going to have free bus transportation. Everything's going to be free. We're going to take care of the rent problem. We're going to just, everybody's going to be treated the same. Where's that coming from? That's socialism, folks. I want you to watch the city so that when it comes here, because it's coming, it's on the East Coast and it's on the West Coast right now. Seattle, Washington has exactly the same thing. It's coming. I want you to be informed so you know how to vote. You don't want to vote for those people. As you watch New York City and you watch Seattle, Washington for the next 2 years, I want you to say, how's that working out? Because it won't work out. Do you know how many places socialism has worked? Where everybody gets the same regardless of what you do? It's never worked anyplace. All the history of mankind has never worked. Folks, it's important you learn the lesson because nothing is free. It's going to cost you to learn how to live a virtuous life. You cannot live like everybody else and be a person, a man or a woman of virtue. You have to live different. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered, and verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life. Now, we like the idea of increasing in houses and land and all the rest. How about the persecution? Anybody here crazy about that? Most of us would just assume not. But the Bible says if we suffer with the Lord, we'll also reign with the Lord. A Christian life that costs you nothing is worth nothing. You have to pay the price. It doesn't just happen that you become Christ-like. You have to set out with the determination. I'm going to become a person of virtue. I'm not going to chase after all the things of this world. I'm going to chase after Christ. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Folks, we mentioned there's 7,000 promises. How many of those are you seeing in your life? When you pursue the Lord, you're going to see a lot of those things come true in your life. Maybe not the richest guy on the block. It doesn't matter one bit. Maybe not the most popular person on your block, but a person that can look at and say, there's a person of virtue. There's a person of integrity. There's a man or woman that knows what's important in life. Folks, it's so wonderful. The real question is, do you believe that it pays to seek the Lord? He said, they're going to get 100-fold in this life and the life to come. Do you know what interest rate 100-fold is? That's 10,000% interest. That's better than any bank on this earth will ever give you. I'm going to put all my stock in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for Him, expecting that not only in this life, but the next life, He's going to reward me greatly. Because if you don't believe the Lord will reward you, you're missing the whole point. The Lord says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that followeth after the Lord must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Question is, are you today diligently seeking the Lord? Father, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to stop seeking all the things of this world that in a few years isn't going to matter to a thing. You tell us in your word, if we have food and clothing, we're therewith to be content. Father, everybody in this room, I believe, has way more than just food and clothing. But so many are very discontent. Father, we have more than any generation that's ever lived before us, but we're not content. Reason being is because we're seeking after all the things of this world and not seeking you. Change our hearts, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to live virtuous lives for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.